got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
Into the final hour of our broadcast week. Sounds like you went with a B-side there, Sean.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I've ever played this one before, and
doesn't
it was really hard charging, and I'm learning that Fog Hat have some pretty decent songs that you don't really know about.
Yeah, I've learned a lot in the last year or so about analyzing songs. There is this one guy on YouTube. His name is Rick Beato. And he will take songs, you know, big, huge hit songs, and in some cases, he somehow has gotten each individual instrument track. And so he will walk you through the genius of how some songs are assembled. And it is just fascinating. It is like, and I mean, he'll take, you know, 15, 20 minutes to analyze a 5-minute song. But it is like just getting a master class in stuff I've always taken for granted. And I've never, you know, paid attention really to the bass line or to, you know, things that I've heard 1,000 times. And it's really cool. His name's Rick Beato, B-E-A-T-O. Nicole, we should get him on the show sometime.
Okay.
I'm loving this idea. Well, I'll pick out a couple of my favorite, and we'll pull some audio to, and I just want to talk to the guy. And oh, by the way, he can play every instrument, and he seems to be able to play them as well as, you know, some virtuosos of those instruments on the records. But I mean, keyboards, drums, guitar. I think he doesn't do the drums quite as often, but he can play lead, rhythm, bass. He can play keyboards. It's phenomenal.
Does this guy analyze older music or all genres, years, styles?
I'm just typing it into YouTube now because I had no idea I was going to talk about this. The series is called What Makes This Song Great. And, you know, like one of them is U2's. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I'm just scrolling down. Gordon Lightfoot, If You Could Read My Mind. Steely Dan. Simon and Garfunkel. And he does a lot of, you know, more modern songs too. He's got The Who. He's got Elton John. It is fascinating. Rick Beato, B-E-A-T-O. And Nicole will have him on the show on Thursday. No, let's do it on Friday. Let's do it on Friday next week.
Okay, good plan.
You don't sound excited.
Oh,
aren't
yeah,
you
it's
excited
exciting.
I will spend 3 hours watching his videos. If you just
I'm sure you would.
I do. And I want to expose the world that doesn't know about this guy to him. And I need your help doing it. And you don't sound excited about it.
I'm excited. I'm thrilled.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but grab a little MP3 of our discussion today and get his email, send it to him, and let him hear what gigantic fan I am of his work, and then he'll clear his schedule and he'll do the 1 o'clock hour with us on Friday next week. Okay.
Okay. Sounds like a great plan. Show planned.
No, you're upset that I'm telling you how to do your job now. I know.
No.
I can read you.
I don't mind. I take you. Advice. I take. Okay. Tips.
Okay. All right. Hey, Sean, for the end of this segment, will you pull up one of the Rick Beato's what makes the song great, and just listen to it and find something that is really insightful and fascinating and interesting and great.
Yeah, and then okay? Find that little clip, and then we'll play it at the end of the segment.
Yeah. Oh, and then he also he ranks songs like the top 20 rock guitar solos of all time, and he'll play little clips, or the top 20 acoustic guitar intros, top 20 acoustic vocal intros to rock songs, and he does those videos too.
Huh.
It's great. But anyway, let's do the what makes the song great. Just find a little fascinating tidbit from him in one of those, and then we'll share it with everybody.
I'll find the tidbit. Yeah,
tiddiest.
Yeah, that doesn't sound
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You said it.
I have a couple other things I have to get to before I get into the big lead here. So, have you noticed every single hour? And again, I love our news partners at CBS. Let me see. Let me get my word dice here. I love my partners, our partners at CBS. But have you noticed that every hour it's a Donald Trump story today? Every flipping hour. Facebook has extended its ban for 2 more years. And Jen Psaki says that the Biden administration agrees with the ban. Of course they do. Of course, they're part of the grouping of people that want to silence everybody who has a dissenting viewpoint. But CBS, horrible jobs numbers came out today, directly tied to the incredibly stupid economic proposals that Joe Biden's rolling out. 1.2 million Americans have left the job force permanently. And the job created numbers was 100,000 less than what economists predicted. This is a horrible recovery. We have inflation. We have lousy job. But do you do that? That news today? No. Donald Trump, Facebook. They are so obsessed. It's really something to watch and listen to. My goodness. And the soundbite they kept playing from Jen Psaki was, it's good to continue to ban. Well, here's what Psaki said.
We learned a lot from President Trump, the former president, over the last couple of years about his behavior and how he uses these platforms. Feels pretty unlikely that the zebra is going to change his stripes over the next 2 years.
Hmm. I wonder if they've been rolling that line out, because I've told you that Democrat politicians and most media, they use the exact same language. And so Psaki today says a zebra doesn't change his stripes. It's not a phrase you hear that often anymore. It used to be popular. So Don Lemon on CNN, he tried using the phrase that the White House has written for all of the mainstream media folks to use about changing stripes. It's just that Don Lemon, he goofed up a little bit.
Leopard doesn't change his stripes.
A leopard doesn't change his stripes? I liked Greg Gutfeld's response to that last night.
Of course leopards don't change their stripes. They don't have stripes. Those are tigers, Don. Next on CNN, do zebras change their spots?
It's Biden administration approved. CNN echoed. They just didn't know how to echo it. We had a couple of exclusive stories earlier today about a camp at Mopop. I'll give you a little recap. In the 2:30 segment, a camp at Mopop and a book that's being read to fourth graders at Edmonds Elementary School, and kind of a similar theme. Now, as I've said, I don't like kids being groomed, indoctrinated. It has tragic results in many, many cases. What adults do is none of my business, none of my concern, and I frankly don't care. what adults choose to do. So a few weeks ago, singer Demi Lovato, she came out as non-binary. And so now that story's been in the news. The one thing I cannot get used to, and I don't think I'll ever get used to it, and I'm not sure why the media does this, you know, others in the media, but whatever pronoun Demi Lovato wants, she's an adult. Demi is an adult, and that's fine, except for they. When I read stories about they, that suggests to me multiple people. And so here's the CBS story that they just posted about this. Demi Lovato has recently opened up about why they didn't come out as non-binary sooner. Speaking to Jane Fonda for a Friday podcast, Lovato said the way they grew up had an impact on their gender expression. So as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, who else besides Demi Lovato when they're saying they and their? And then I thought, well, maybe I'm so uncool, unhip. Maybe Demi Lovato is the name of the entire band, you know, like Leonard Skinner. And maybe everybody in the band came out as non-binary, and so that's why they're using they and their. But then I remember, no. An individual can say that they want they as their pronoun. Fine. That's their choice. It's tough to say. But when major media changes English language, changes the meaning of words, it's really tough. Here's the second paragraph. Lovato said if they had continued to listen to the patriarchy, oh, that patriarchy, evil. We should get men out of every family in America. Then America will be great again. Anyway, let me get back. Lovato said if they had continued to listen to the patriarchy, their pronouns would have never changed, and they probably would have been married to a man with kids doing the thing I was raised to believe I should do. Oh, what a horrible life that would be. Married to a man with kids. Sounds awful. Anyway, I have trouble redefining words like they when I read these stories. Okay, I have one other thing before I get into the big lead here. Let me find this email from a listener. So listener Lisa emailed me. And I've told you many, many times that I love Nordstrom and the grand patriarch of the Nordstrom family, John Nordstrom, is a wonderful, wonderful human being and has become a really good friend of mine. I'm honored to have his friendship. Nordstrom's a great company. So we were really happy, my wife and I, when all three of our daughters, when they were in high school and or college, worked at Nordstrom. You know, Christmas and summertime especially. So Lisa said this to me, and it is bothersome. And I know I'm not supposed to care about this stuff anymore because I am just such a fuddy-duddy. I don't think I've ever said fuddy-duddy before in my career. Check the tapes. That was the first time ever. So Lisa wrote, Dory, I was shocked to see that Nordstrom carries a stud earring that spells, and then it's the F word. The actual word spelled by, and then she names the company that makes the earring. And then she told me what the caption says. So I went to the Nordstrom website, and it's absolutely true. So they're just selling a stud earring, and it says the F word. Why? What does that do for anybody? And here's the caption. Make a strong statement with this single stud earring plated in 18 karat gold. Now, the strong statement is that you're a fool to walk around with the F word pinned to your ear. That's a strong statement about anything other than the idiotic decisions that that earring buyer made. Nicole, do you notice what I just did there, by the way? Very important.
Yeah. Yes, sorry. I did notice that. That was okay. It was a little bit. It made me go, okay. I think he can get away with that one, but no, that was tight.
It was subtle. In the past, I would have said, "What an idiotic person did," but I don't name call anymore, and so I said, "What an idiotic decision that person made," and so now I'm not calling the person an idiot. I'm calling the decision that they made. Idiotic. It's just
right.
It's really cool. It's really fun to not name call anymore because it makes me a better person.
Are we encouraging this for other people as well? Is that why you keep pointing it out? Should we encourage that?
Absolutely. You know, I'm trying to change us to from the coarseness, the rudeness, the anger that's in society. And I want to be about nothing but love and positivity. And so right. People aren't idiots. Decisions are idiotic. And yes, I'm hoping that everybody will start following my lead and that we can come together as one happy people.
I support that.
I appreciate your support. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
Your read on the big lead.
Listen, I only have a minute and a half? What happened?
And we don't have to know what makes this song great.
Well, should I just do that and I can save all of this for the next segment? Why don't we do that? I'll just do the big lead next segment. And Sean, since you've worked so hard to find something that I think is going to be a perfect example of why I'm so fascinated by this musical series on YouTube. Play for us what you have.
All right. We're talking about The Cure.
Just Like Heaven has only five chords in it. A, E, B minor, D. And then in the chorus it has F sharp minor to G. So really it has A, E, B minor, D, F sharp minor. Five chords. Let's check out the intro. Starts with bass and drums. Before any guitars come in, here's the drums soloed. Drums sound great. The song is mixed by Bob Clearmountain, who is one of the biggest mixers of the 80s and 90s. Just a brilliant, brilliant mixer. And here's the bass solo. You'll notice it has a chorus on it. It's muted.
He's isolated every individual instrument within a song.
Okay. But you have to really know music.
No, you don't, because I don't know music. It's I watch stuff. He talks about like sus chords. And I have no idea what that is.
Yes, and but you know music. That's
no,
true.
No, I know a lot more because I've watched this. And just like our listeners are going to know a lot more by 2 o'clock next Friday, because you're going to get them on in the 1 o'clock hour next Friday.
Well, text us and tell us what you think, listeners.
No! I have to assert the fact that my name is on the show, and this is something I'm really passionate about. I really want.
Okay.
And if I'm passionate about it, then the listeners will be passionate about it. Because my enthusiasm will be infectious.
I support that.
And I support your support. Okay, let me tell you what. Let me take a real quick time out here. And then we'll do the big lead. And plus, you know that 2:32 on Friday is my favorite minute of the week on the show. So we got all that coming up here on the Dory Monson Show.
Thank you.
much news to get to here. Zach is busy with this whole thing. Especially right here. Sadly, I have a job to do. Actually, I'm not sad that I have a job. What kind of a nut would say that? Okay, let me get caught up here with the big lead. Are we still doing the big lead liners here, Sean?
We sure can.
Okay, let's do it.
Your read on the big lead.
Getting lots of comments from you on Jay Inslee's vaccine lottery. So, as you know, yesterday, right at this time yesterday, Jay Inslee announced that everybody who's been vaccinated or will get vaccinated will be entered into a big lottery.
We're making this investment today because we know every life in the state of Washington has value. So I'm excited to announce these strong incentives that will bring the potential to save thousands of lives on top of everybody else's agenda in their individual lives.
And then he announced a program that's going to save pretty much no lives. So he says it'll save thousands of lives. We've lost 6,000 people, and that's through the absolute peak, and it's on a sharp downward. I mean, it's almost a flat line, COVID, in our state. There aren't thousands of impending deaths to be saved, Governor. You're the data daddy. How can you say that a lottery is going to save thousands of lives? It's not. And you're trying to focus on a lot of people in their 20s and teens and down to 5 years old who are not going to die if they got COVID. And you want to get shots into the arms of five-year-olds, but, oh, riches await you.
The first 4 weekly lottery drawings will include a $250,000 prize each week. The fifth and final lottery will be for an award of $1 million.
And then he says, for high school kids, you can win college tuition. For college kids, you can get your tuition paid.
We're also providing $1 million for higher education tuition costs. Mm-hmm. We're providing funding for public four-year universities and two-year community and technical colleges.
We're providing. No, you're not. You're taking our tax money. We're providing it. You're not providing it. We are. My listeners, you, me, Nicole, Sean, we're providing it. We're providing. Come on, get out of here. And as I said, there's really only one thing that was in this fabulous prize package that I really, really want to win.
Topsoil.
Yes. You can win topsoil in the big state lottery. And that, to me, is the best prize of all.
The State Department of Health will also have $500,000 in gift cards to give away over the summer. And they'll provide these gift cards through the Care a Van program, which brings mobile clinics out to where people reside and gather. The gift cards will be for different kinds of retail gatherings, from groceries to fishing gear to topsoil.
Yes.
We're also looking at other programs.
And if it's coming from the government, you know that topsoil will be mixed with a healthy amount of fertilizer. Okay, so I'm getting a lot of emails about this from Tarin. In response to the vaccination prize lottery, I have deep concerns. How is it appropriate to use my personal information for something so unnecessary? When I asked if the government could use it basically for whatever they wanted when I voluntarily received an experimental vaccine. Why is Washington government bribing people with taxpayer money we don't have if we're opening back up on June 30th, regardless of whether we have 70% of eligible people vaccinated? I'm a government employee who had to furlough last year because of a budget deficit. And the fact that they're pulling this garbage without a vote of the people is just infuriating. And I'm hearing that from a lot of people. Isaac writes, in regards to the vaccine lottery, does it concern anyone that Jay Inslee's plan will literally violate every Washingtonian's HIPAA rights? by releasing PHI, private health information, to the lottery system via the state's immunization registry site. And if someone is a winner and the name is announced, they will be violating the individual's HIPAA rights on the whole world. Or does he have a plan to have every vaccinated individual sign a release to be entered into the drawing? Basically, the lottery has zero right to view any person's medical or immunization records to perform the lottery, as they are no way a medical provider, and there is medically no reason for them to obtain our vaccination records. Do our rights suddenly mean nothing? And how can Jay legally get around our federally protected rights? Jay is breaking the law in broad daylight, and the left is acting like he's a savior. So that's some of the info that I'm getting back, or the feedback I'm getting from you. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
A couple of exclusive stories from listener tips that we covered in depth earlier today. At MoPOP, the Museum of Pop Culture, used to be the Experience Music Project at the Seattle Center, they are having a drag camp this summer for children aged sixth grade through senior year of high school. And it's just that. It's going to be taught by a drag queen. And as I mentioned earlier, I have a friend who is gay, lives out of state now, but he and his partner lived here. And I talked to him about drag queen culture. And it is no secret, and it is certainly undeniable, that it is heavily filled with drugs and overt sexuality. That's where, you know, I first talked about this with the King County Library, Drag Queen Story Hour, and drag queens giving out their Instagram address to all the kids who were there, and I looked at some of those accounts. It's not appropriate for 6, 7, 8 year olds who just shouldn't be on the computer unmonitored anyway. But I thought it was so interesting that on YouTube there's a drag queen named Kitty Damare who is absolutely against, said, if you're 18, do whatever you want. That's my view too. I don't care what 18 year olds do. I don't know why this is being pushed on children.
Would you want a stripper or a porn star to influence your child? It makes no sense at all. A drag queen performs in a nightclub for adults. There is a lot of filth that goes on, a lot of sexual stuff that goes on. And backstage, there's a lot of nudity, sex, and drugs.
And yes, I mean, everybody knows that it is a culture that is for adults, and it's fine for consenting adults, but it is really being pushed on our kids. And then I heard from a dad about a book that's being read to his fourth grader in an elementary school in the Edmonds School District called My Shadow is Pink.
My dad has a shadow that's blue as can be, and there's nothing but blue in my whole family tree. But mine is quite different. It's not what you think, for mine is not blue. My shadow is pink. My shadow loves ponies and books and pink toys, princesses, fairies, and things not for boys. But there's one thing it likes most, I have found. It loves wearing dresses and dancing around.
And the dad said, why for fourth graders? Why are you doing, instead of math and science and reading, plus it's the kind of book, just the cadence and the level of writing that would be more for a kindergartner or a first grader, subject matter aside, it's a very simplistically written book, but it's all about, you know, this trans fourth grade kid. And there are almost zero trans fourth graders. There are 2% of high schoolers who identify at the Edmonds schools, finds that to be appropriate. It's just, it's a very odd trend line that we are seeing being imposed, forced on our kids. Parents, keep an eye out. All right, we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week. Coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. Before I get to the awesome audio of the... Oh, wait. Hang!
down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. Belmont Stakes tomorrow. Great card at Belmont. I'm excited about that. One other thing from Jay Inslee's press conference yesterday. Who's eligible? You have to be vaccinated. But let's say somebody's in the country illegally. Could they win the $1 million?
These are open to anyone in our state, regardless of citizenship status, but you must be a Washington resident.
You can be here illegally, but as long as you live in Washington. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Doreen Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Week.
Oh, man, let's start with our president, Joe Biden, who, remember a few months ago, he's on the campaign trail, and he just has trouble remembering one bit of history.
For America to get back up on its feet and once again fight for the proposition that we hold these truths to be self-evident. Sounds corny. Not a joke. Think about it. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the... You know the thing.
Okay, so this week he had another one of these. He should just take this out of his stump speeches.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, including life, liberty, etc.
And then the creepiest comment, a girl who looks like she was about 5 or 6 years old, sitting on stage with Joe. Listen to what he says about this little girl.
And I want to thank you for all that you do to represent these service veterans, because they're devoted to you. It's the family members, the caregivers, survivors who call Virginia home. I'm especially honored to share the stage with Brittany and Jordan and Nathan and Margaret Catherine. I love those barrettes in her hair, man. I'll tell you what. I look at her. She looks like she's 19 years old, sitting there with her, like a little lady in a race car.
That's really creepy. Love those barrettes, man. Love the way you cross your legs. We talked a lot this week about a man named John Hickey, 67 years old, lives in homeless housing, low-income housing, a hotel near Pioneer Square, and he's got nothing. He has no family. He has no money, but he has a dog, had a dog, Jack Russell Terrier named Alice. A 29-year-old guy named Courtney Williams tried to rob John Hickey, and John pepper sprayed him. Then the thief came back and kicked Alice, the dog, so hard she flew through the air and died. And you know, we've played a lot of sound bites from this story, but there was one that Q13 had that I just thought was so beautiful, and it really illustrates the bond that we have with our pets.
She would cuddle up and wrap her arms around my neck. She's all I have, and I'm not complaining that that was all I had. I mean, she was all I needed.
That's a beautiful line. The guy who kicked and killed the dog appeared before a judge on Monday. Prosecutors wanted $25,000 bail. Judge Marcus Naylor let him walk with no bail. And then he had a court hearing yesterday. Didn't show up. Nice job, judge. All right, and finally, critical race theory. In our schools, it is horribly racist curriculum, and I love this man. This is a strong black father. He's sitting with his little girl who's just absolutely adorable, and he told us what he thinks about CRT.
Daddy teaches you can be anything in this world that you want to be, right? Don't Daddy teach you that?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you're black or white or any color.
Doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown, yellow, right?
Black.
And how we treat people is based on who they are and not what color they are.
And if they're nice and smart.
See, this is how children think right here. Critical race theory wants to end that. Not with my children. It's not gonna happen. My baby's gonna know that no matter what she wants to be in life, all she has to do is work hard, and she can become that.
Work hard. Even though you don't know anyone, you can make friends.
Yeah, you can make friends, no matter what color they are. So we need to stop CRT, period, point blank. Children do not see skin color, man. They love everybody, If they're good people, they love them.
We pray for people that are hurt.
Just adorable. And what a great dad. We're going to try to reach out and get him on the show, too. He's just a good man. And the people have spoken, Nicole, overwhelmingly. Everybody wants Rick Beato on the show next week. Every single person.
All right. Overwhelming. I've already reached out. So okay. There we go.
All right. I got to get out of here.
Stay tuned.
Hey, I'm off on Monday. I'm having eye surgery on Monday, but I'll be back on Tuesday. Because you can't keep me down long. Enjoy your weekend. God bless you in these crazy times. And we'll see you back here Tuesday, high noon.
I want to thank me for believing in me. I want to thank me for doing all this hard work. I want to thank me for having no days off. I want to thank me for never quitting.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.